And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, kind of a weird 2 weeks in Rays baseball, a lot of excitement, and then a lot of suboptimal games. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I felt better. I felt better about the Tampa Bay Rays. It's been eventful. A lot's gone on. We did some trades last week. We've won a couple of games. We've lost a couple of games. It's I mean, we got a lot to talk about. I've got some pretty. I think we've got a lot of opinions, a lot of strong opinions that we gotta think about, and some difficult conversations that we've got to have today.
I think so. And if any of you out there want to have them with us, we'd welcome it. And if you want to do that, the easiest way for you to is to head on over to YouTube, drop a comment down there. Love to hear from you guys. It's we ain't dead yet. I like to hear it, and we're not. I'm going to say a lot of that today. I'd love to hear from all of you if you agree, if you think differently. Either way, we'd like to hear from you guys. If you enjoy the show, drop us a like. Means a lot to us. Share it out so other people can join that you think might enjoy it. Helps us out a lot. But we're going to get right into it because, frankly, we've got a jam-packed show. We got to talk about the week that was. We got to talk kind of, you know, how are we feeling about the acquisitions. It's been a little bit. We've had some time to sit with it. We're going to talk about, you know, what's the future look like, you know, position-wise. We're going to talk about what the playoff odds are at right now, what we can do to still make it there, and if the season is over or not. So lot to get into there. Where do you want to start, Pat?
I guess what I want to start with is we've got some new folks on the team that we didn't have last time the two of us talked. And we got some people that aren't on the team anymore since the last time we talked. Some people that we've had some pretty heavy discussions about this year. Yes. And I guess I want to hear your kind of brief thoughts now that the dust has settled on it a little bit on the trade deadline, how you think the Rays handled it. And do you think it was a good trade deadline, a bad trade deadline? Are there any players you're psyched for? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought it was a good trade deadline overall. It hurt to see players like Zach Littell, even Jose Caballero, who have been huge contributors for the team. You know, Littell leading the team in innings, Caballero leading the team in steals. They both had their roles on this team. I've really enjoyed watching Zach Littell pitch. He had a great start for the Reds the other day. The good news on that trade in particular is Brian Van Bell, the kind of the big return piece. I get, you know, coming from that trade to the Rays, had a really nice start just a couple of days ago down in Durham. So good. We have some hope there, you know, that he can, you know, one day replace some of the value that we lost with Littell. It was getting up towards the end of the deadline, it felt very much kind of what we expected. You know, you moved a guy like Littell and you moved Caballero. Okay, that's pretty much exactly what I expected. And then it got weird at the buzzer. It got real weird at the buzzer with the Rays adding a high leverage reliever and a expiring contract starting pitcher. And it was like, that is not what I expected at all. And to me, it spoke a lot to how Neander and Cash view this team. And that leads into some of my thoughts later. But they clearly view this team as a team that had the ability to go for it, and they weren't ready to give up on the team. So as they subtracted, they wanted to add. I love the addition of Griffin Jacks. I think the bullpen desperately needed it. He has been honestly pretty awesome for the Rays with that one pitch to I almost said Mike Zunino because he reminds me of Cal Raleigh unexpectedly. It really wasn't even that bad of a location. But it wasn't great to leave it over so much over the heart of the plate to a guy like him. But outside of that pitch, he's been pretty good for the Rays so far. So that's exciting. As much as it was very amusing that Adrian Hauser had his worst start for the Rays or for the season coming over to the team, that's not that crazy coming over to a new team, probably a little unexpectedly, because he would move so late. You know, coming over to a new team probably there's some butterflies there. We expect him to have a nice start today. I was really happy with the additions. Really happy that Brandon Lau and Yandy Diaz and Pete Fairbanks all stayed on the team. But I think, you know, what has really consumed the conversation more so than the ads were the two players that were traded for Jackson Houser, Taj Bradley and Curtis Mead. And I understand, I'm going to get to Mead in a second, because I think there's a lot to talk about with Mead. I think Mead being traded, there's a lot to break down there. But I want to talk about Taj Bradley for a second, because people are saying, why did we bother to trade him away for a guy that, you know, is a reliever? You don't trade starting pitching for relievers. That's what I think most Rays fans would that's what they would say. And to me, it's because I think, you know, as much as I don't like to give up on young starting pitching, I kind of think I saw all I needed to see. It wasn't that he was, you know, he wasn't developing as much. It was more my concern with the way his mound demeanor looked. He didn't seem like he was improving in that aspect. It's a huge part of what makes you a good starting pitcher. It's something I talked about before on the podcast, Shane McClanahan. We saw him develop live in season. We weren't seeing that with Taj. The rumblings, we don't have it, none of this is confirmed, but the rumblings were that they told him to go work on his splitter, and he kind of already knew he needed to, and he just kind of wasn't. And so he just wasn't really making the adjustment, and that's not good. So we don't know, that's not confirmed. So that's just something we've heard. But if that's true and he just wasn't willing to make the adjustment, then I'm sorry, but this is not the organization for you, buddy. If you're not willing to make the adjustments, this is an organization where we make adjustments, where we analyze what we've done wrong, make adjustments, and try to be better. And if you're not willing to do that, it's just not the org for you. I wish him well in Minnesota. I really do. He's going to get a lot of run there, I'm sure, because they've kind of broken their building down to the studs. A lot of people were really upset about trading him, and I just don't feel that way.
Yeah, Taj was an interesting one. I didn't see him getting better.
Yeah.
Not with the Rays. Now, the thing we know about Taj is he does have a good start in him.
Yes.
But it's really dependent on his command being like red hot.
Yes.
Like if he's spotting his fastball and splitter exactly where he wants them to, he can have a dominant start. He can even have a run of dominant starts. He did that last year.
Yep.
But if his command is off, his fastball shape and splitter shapes are not deceptive enough where if you could put them in the wrong place or don't sequence them well enough, hitters can lock in on them pretty quick, and then you can have the disaster starts that we also see Taj have.
Yes.
And he's not a command demon by any stretch. So unless he figures out something to make his command red hot, I think we're just going to stay with a really inconsistent starting pitcher that will come up with an amazing start. And though in our luck, his first start with the Twins at the big league level, because I know they started him in AAA when they acquired him, when he eventually comes up to the big league level with Minnesota, he'll probably pitch 7 innings and give up one and run, and everyone will go,
That's what the Rays did for them.
Yeah, Littell was brilliant for the Reds. So they'll all be like, but then honestly, he'll probably then go on a run of 3 innings, 10 hits allowed, 6 earned runs. Like, that's who Taj Bradley is, and that's fine for a 4 or 5 starter for a middling team. But, like, I guess that's what we are at the moment, a middling team. But, and that's why Taj has been our number 4 or 5 starter this year. But the team has ambitions to be a playoff team. And I don't think Taj Bradley is worth the risk for a team that needs to be winning a lot of games very quickly between now and the end of the season. You can't afford to toss the coin on whether or not you're going to get a good Taj Bradley or not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, reality is Joe Boyle had been more consistent. This is a weird time to talk about that because he just had his first really bad start. But honestly, that's the first sign of really bad start we've seen in a while from Joe Boyle. We saw it last night. But that's going to happen with a young pitcher. But Joe Boyle has been more consistent. And they went and got a guy in Houser who also had been consistent this year to kind of replace Littell. And they brought in, you know, brought Boyle up to replace Bradley. And that just kind of, you know, I don't really have a huge issue with those replacements. I think that the team, if you're just looking at objectively just this year, I see the team got a little bit better because I think Littell is really good, but I do think that Boyle is significantly better, at least as we have seen him so far, than Taj was. And it'll be very interesting to see the way Boyle bounces back from this tough start. One of the things that's, you know, I just talked about how Taj was allegedly was struggling to make adjustments. Boyle has not been, you know, he has come in and made his change his arm slot. It's been a big thing has been talked about him a lot this year is the adjustment to his arm slot and how that has really helped him. And that's the kind of player that, you know, you're excited about, is somebody not only who has great stuff, but is willing to make adjustments to his game based on feedback from really elite people in the organization. And speaking of really elite people, talking about all y'all who are watching us, really appreciate you guys. If you're enjoying the show, you could do us a massive favor and subscribe or follow us on any of the social platforms you enjoy the podcast on. You'll know when we go live. You'll know when you got a chance to come in and join us in the conversation. And we hope you do. It would mean a lot to us. And I'm going to springboard off of that into, I think, one of the most interesting moves that was made at this deadline, and not necessarily because we got Adrian Hauser, who's great, but it's because we traded Curtis Mead. And to me, the only way that this trade works is if you have pretty high confidence that you are re-signing Brandon Lau and you are re-signing Ha-Seong Kim. Because if not, it's a very, like, that's a very strange trade. If they had kept me through the deadline, honestly, my feel would have been Bilal and or Kim are gone after the season. And they're just going to run with Curtis Mead at second base, and I would have been fine with that. The fact that they traded him tells me that they're very confident they can retain both of those guys and that they're happy with the development of Carson Williams down in AAA. That they feel like they can – with those three players – they can continue to run at a high level at those positions, because honestly, if you lose those guys in this offseason, it's a very concerning, you know, it's a very concerning choice, in my opinion, to trade a guy that does have MLB, you know, does have MLB level talent. And to me, it also tells me that they're planning to re-sign Hauser. Because that's just not really in their MO to trade for rentals. They traded for one or two rental bats here and there, but they generally are bringing guys on with control. That's been their MO, is they bring in young guys with control. So it also tells me that they feel pretty good about their ability to re-sign Hauser. So, and I mean, you know, when you look at Hauser's profile, he's having a really nice season this year, but this would be by far his best season. So maybe the idea is, hey, we think we can bring him back on for a very reasonable price, saying, hey, look, you had one good season, kid, but you've been a 4 to 5 ERA guy for most of your career. So let's get you a 2 or 3 year deal at a very reasonable price point and roll this thing. And if that's their plan, then I'm good with it. But if we start losing any of those three guys, Kim, Lau, and Hauser in the offseason, I'm going to start to become more concerned. So at the moment, I'm fine with the trade, and I'm, you know, to me, it tells me that they are going to keep those guys, because it wouldn't make sense to me as an organization to trade him if you're not going to keep those guys. But if you don't keep those guys, I now really don't like this trade.
I think you're bang on the money in that the reason this trade was made is because they were like, oh no, we've got a Zach Littell shaped hole in our innings.
Yes.
We need to fill them like right now. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like a steep price to pay for a rental starter, because it wasn't just Curtis Mead. I mean, Ben Peoples and is it Duncan Davitt?
Yes.
They are both people that are Rule 5 susceptible.
I did like Peoples, though. I was sad to see that he was going.
Yeah. And if the White Sox don't roster him this offseason, he will be Rule 5 eligible, though. And he was a shout for being stolen on the Rule 5 last offseason.
He was. I remember us talking about him.
Yeah. So those two are kind of throw-ins, I suppose. But yeah, I thought Curtis Mead was going to be in the package that got us Luis Robert. I thought Curtis Mead had legitimate trade value.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right that he has the potential to be a solid MLB player. He didn't really show that with the Rays, nor does he really have the opportunity to get a run of games with the Rays. He's blocked. Blocked across the infield. He's not going to get it third because of Caminero. He's not going to get it second because of Lau. He's not going to get it first because Aranda. I guess he could have got reps at first base now.
Yeah.
But little did we know Aranda was going to break his wrists immediately after the trade deadline. Because we cannot catch a break. But yeah, it's I don't like the trade because I don't think we're going to re-sign Hauser.
I think so.
You're right. I don't think so. I think with Adrian, if Alex Cobb can earn a one-year $15 million deal at this stage, Hauser will be able to earn at least that next year.
Okay.
Because Cobb's even older than Hauser.
Yeah.
And came off a worse year than Hauser did. So I think if you want to re-sign Hauser, you're probably looking at like the Charlie Morton deal that we signed, where it's like 2 years 30, 3 years 45 type range. I don't know if there is, unless the new owner's got money to burn and is like, yeah, hell yeah, man, let's throw $45 million at Adrian Hauser. I don't think they're going to do that. But I think it was just they traded away Littell because they really liked the return they got for Littell. I don't think they would have traded Littell unless they got a good return and they liked the return they got for Littell because they managed to flip that to get, hopefully, what will be the catcher of the future. But then they went, oh no, we still want to compete this year and we don't have anyone that we trust enough to throw those innings. So they panic bought.
Yeah.
In Hauser.
No,
go on.
No, because the alternative would have been, you know, Ian Seymour is pitching a lot.
Or Joe Rock.
Or Joe Rock, yeah. Which, those guys are fine. And I actually quite like Seymour. He had been very happy with him in his limited innings. But, yeah. And, I mean, I guess that's the other thing to talk about, too, is the trades for the catchers. Hunter Fiducia and Nick Fortes, who have both been pretty good since coming over. Fiducia is kind of the, you know, hey, he's got some pop in his bat. He's got a little bit of ability to hit. We hope he can, you know, kind of figure it out. Fortes is a little bit more defensive focused and would be, you know, can provide defensive value right now. Pam's a big Nick Fortes guy or girl. really, really big on Nick Fortes. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to see. There's still quite a few options for catcher down in the minors. We were talking about this before the show and in our Discord. Catching position has been kind of weird for the Rays recently. I'm not really sure what the long-term plan is, because honestly, I think they haven't really recovered from Pinto and Alex Jackson not working out. I think those guys were supposed to be kind of the, you know, the future, and then neither of them worked out for reasons we don't fully understand. It seems Alex Jackson was mean to Erasmo. Or something. I don't know. We don't really know exactly what happened. But regardless, neither of those players are with the team anymore. And they, I think, were a big part of the plan. And because, you know, Pinto, we had years and years invested in that guy and punted on him really quickly, which was very strange. I'd love to get if I had one question to ask, I don't know if that'd be the one question, but it would be on my list of questions to ask Neander or Cash is, hey, what happened with that? But anyway, I'm at the end of the day, I'm pretty happy with the deadline. I was excited that the Rays bought and didn't, you know, trade, you know, the players we were afraid they might trade. I think, you know, we're going to kind of, you know, anything else you want to say on the deadline?
It was nice to think that the front office believed in the team enough to, try and maintain what they had and go on a run. The team has let them down.
Yeah.
Which is the shame.
And it's been, you know, I don't want to, I'm not in the business of giving people a pass all the time, but like it's just been weird. You know, you've been in a lot of these games. It also, I mean, losing Aranda and then having Brandon Lau and Kim both be out for extended periods of time in the stretch post the All-Star break has just been so strange. And I don't really know, like, it's hard to judge this team right now because it feels like they are finally now, even not really finally, like they feel a little bit more together now that Lau and Kim are both healthy. But even still, your Aranda's still out, and you're kind of now just hoping he can make it back for September. And then you've got Johnny DeLuca, who is now out, and you've got, you know, Tristan Peters, God bless him, playing center field. It's been such a weird stretch of games. I mean, just over the last week of games, you have a series to the Angels, which you win, which is good. You lose it. You know, beginning the week, you're losing a series to the Dodgers. You're going to lose a series to the Mariners. Hope to salvage one. It feels like we're back in 2024, one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, it's feeling very much like that. And it's, the frustrating thing is, you're like, right, the offense most in this stretch post All-Star break where we've been tragic, the offense hasn't been there. Like, we scored 11 runs off the Orioles in the first game back. We scored 9 runs in a game that we lost to the White Sox. But, like, look at the last few games. Obviously, we scored 4 last night. Then 2, then 4, then 3, then 1, then 0, then 4, then 0, then 4. Like, we're not putting up big offensive numbers.
No.
At all. Caminero and Lauer, like, in this Mariners series, that's been the entire offense, Caminero and Lau. And Caminero's 22.
Yeah.
Like, we got to give the guy a pass. Like, he can't carry the whole team. And Lau needs help as well. Like, where's Yandy these days? Where's other guys that we expect to contribute? Like, I don't know. Josh Lowe. We need to have uncomfortable conversations about Josh Lowe.
Yeah.
Ha-Sung Kim's not really hit this year. Chandler Simpson's not really been getting on base at the clip that he needs to be effective. Jake Mangum's had a drop off. Like, it's just been the Caminero and Lau show. Like, if you look over the past week, Caminero leads the team in WRC+, then Brandon Lau. Hunter Fiducia is third on the team in WRC+ this week.
The team since the All-Star break, 64 WRC+ for the team.
Right. And then on the days where, and then on the odd day where we do put up runs, the bullpen or the starting rotation are wobbly. So like yesterday, 4 runs against the Mariners could have got you through, but Joe Boyle had his worst start of the season. And, you know, the first game of that series, we've not done much on offense, but we've done enough. And Rasmussen had another amazing start. Great. Oh, wait, no, Griffin Jacks just gave up a 3-run bomb.
Yeah.
That's your, like, and it wasn't even a mistake pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. The pitching has been pretty good. They rang 4th and 5th in XFIP since the All-Star break, but it's the timely mistakes, the like when you need it. Like that, you know, I don't want to overanalyze one moment, but man, not getting that win to start the Mariners series, that mislocation I'll be honest with you, you know, I was half asleep watching that, but like I did think, do you just walk him, take your chances and just say, because it was 2 outs at that point. All you needed was a ground ball. And Kyle Raleigh's not really your best bet to get a ground ball. So maybe let's just walk him and say whatever. Because I mean, you think about it. I mean, if you flip that game and now you won that game, even if you still lose yesterday, now all of a sudden you could win a series against the Mariners, which is a series you really want to win.
Huge.
And then you go play the A's. You can talk yourself into it, but it's just that those couple timely mistakes from the pitching staff that have marred an otherwise really solid performance from them since the deadline. And I think that it's really unfortunate because we said a couple of times, especially during the hot streak, I said it a few times, it felt like this team was made the jump they never could make last year to like get into that next gear. And it just feels like they shifted back down and can't figure out how to shift back up again, is how it feels right now. And some of it is you're missing your best hitter. You know, I guess you could make the argument Caminero has, you know, surpassed Aranda right now, but you're missing a guy that was an all-star that you, you know, had a lot of confidence in and faith in. Him not being here for the most important stretch of the season, you can't underestimate that. Lau and Kim, I just think has never really got right fully, you know, because he's just been doing this with injuries, which does lead me to also think that I think we're going to have a really good chance to keep him if the Rays want to, because nobody's going to give him more than what he's currently going to get from the Rays with the way that he's looked this season. But for this season, you just got to hope that he figures it out somehow. And just, you know, you got a lot riding on Adrian Hauser this afternoon. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and Brian Wu is no joke. He's a good pitcher.
No, he's not.
So it's gonna be tough. You know, do you remember during the hot streak, we had a game against Texas where we had a really weird like walk off where like it was just a conundrum of errors by the Rangers. And I said, these are the types of breaks you get when everything is like clicking. And when you're playing with confidence, these kind of breaks just happen. We're in the opposite of that. Where it just feels like the team is lacking in confidence. And that means all the coin flips, all the like things that could go wrong are going wrong.
Well, and like,
we can't catch breaks.
Yeah.
At all. We've got no lucky bounces. We've had no close calls go our way. And like all those moments, like you said, like those, hey, if that pitch was an inch lower, maybe to Cal Raleigh, it would probably would have been a chopper in the into the dirt.
Or the Josh Lowe foul ball the next half inning. That's it's like out by this much, you know?
Yeah. So I feel like we're just stuck in the like, you don't get any of the breaks while you're low on confidence. And the only thing that can reverse that is winning some games, but it's harder to win games when you're low on confidence because you don't get the breaks. So it's going to require something special. We were talking about if this team is dead before the show, are we ready to declare 2025 Rays dead? You're not there yet, but I am this close. We've done the math. We've crunched the numbers. We reckon to make the playoffs, you're probably going to need about 88 wins. Between now and the end of the season, that means we are allowed to lose 14 games. And following today's game, we have got 14 series. That means on aggregate, we're allowed one loss per series.
Yeah.
Anything more, we've got to make up via a sweep. That's what we got to do. We got to, like, I said that I was ready to make a verdict on if this team is dead after the West Coast road trip. So far, we're 2-3.
Not looking great.
So far, we're 2-3 on the road trip. And I said we probably needed to go like win 2 out of 3, like 2/3 of our games on this road trip for me to consider this team alive. So we got to sweep the A's. We got to win tonight. We got to sweep the A's and win the series against the Giants. If any, I'll settle for a series win against the A's and a series win against the Giants.
That would put us at if we salvage today and we win those two series, that would put us at what, 7-5 on the road trip.
Yeah, which that's, is not pulling up trees, but. But it's fine. But if we come back after the Giants series and we have lost to a series to the A's, or we got swept, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
If we get swept by the A's, I'm done. If we get swept
that
by the A's,
that would be a tough series to get swept on.
That's not necessarily a discredit to the A's because I think they've got some really fun hitters. But like, if we get swept by the A's, I'm like, there's no way this team gets back in it.
Yeah, and you know this. I say it all the time, and we've said it, you know, for years. This team is built, you know, with the postseason in mind. I think in a lot of ways, you've got couple of allegedly high-end talent starting pitchers, and then a bunch of guys who can all shift back into the bullpen for the rest of the rotation and do well back there. And then you've got a bunch of guys who can, you know, pop it, you know, when they want to. And we've got a really nice bullpen, you know, theoretically, again, allegedly. Allegedly, it's built really well for the postseason. But, you know, these are the breaks. The teams you're playing the rest of the way, you go A's, Giants, Yankees, Cardinals, Guardians, Nationals, Guardians again, Mariners again, Guardians again, Guardians only twice, White Sox, Cubs, Blue Jays, Red Sox, Orioles, Blue Jays. It's a lot of contenders in there. Really, the only teams that aren't contenders that I just named are the A's, the Orioles, and the White Sox. Every other team is at least, you know, in the Nationals. Every other team is, you know, at least fighting for a playoff spot in that list. So if you want to get to the playoffs, you're going to have to beat playoff teams. And if you can't beat playoff teams, you probably aren't going to do well in the playoffs. So it's kind of a catch-22. You know, it's a tough schedule to end the season with. So if you lose these games, you probably weren't going to do much in the postseason. If you win these games, hey, you've just performed well against the guys you're going to be up against in the playoffs. So that, you know, that bodes well for you. So if we're keeping the glass half full, I think the reason that, and I guess that's the reason I can never truly give up on this team, because this team has played together now, you know, for a while. A lot of these guys have been here for a couple seasons. I was sad to lose Littell because he'd kind of been here with this team for a little while. And I really liked him in a postseason setting. But I just feel like if this team can make it to the dance, they can cause some trouble. But it's gonna be a lot of work to get there. I'm not ready to give up on this team, but they need to start shifting into higher gear here real soon.
They need to play like they did in June.
Yes.
Like that's the pace they've got to go on between now and the end of the season for the last 6 weeks. They can do it because they've done it. But they got to do it again.
Yep.
And, you know, I was really bullish on this team in June when other people were saying it's fake, it's a mirage, they're going to crash back down. And now we're being proven that they are going to crash back down unless they turn it around, which is really frustrating. I guess my question to you is, if we ran it back next year with the exact same roster that we have today, do you think they could make the playoffs?
If they're healthy, yeah.
Yeah.
Because again, think about just think about these games since the All-Star break. Wow, the offense has been rough. Well, yeah, because they don't have their best player. Any offense, when you take their best player out, is going to struggle. And now Caminero has stepped up into being the best player, which has been awesome, but then you don't have your other guy, which I think is really hurting some of the other guys in the lineup, like Josh Lowe, who has been has been a real disappointment.
Josh Lowe, do we run him back next year, or are we done with Josh Lowe?
Well, I guess if you want to do conspiracy time. It's interesting that when you trade Caballero, you trade him for an outfielder, like Everson Pereira. It's interesting. I don't know what the thought process is there long term. Unfortunately, there aren't really a whole lot of other guys in the Rays system that can challenge them, unless you think Trey Morgan can figure it out there. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
And I would be reluctant to start him in the majors next year, like on opening day.
Yeah, I agree. So here's the other question. This is like a very convoluted thought process, but you know, if you're nervous about Josh Lowe, can you with confidence put Carson Williams at shortstop and can your new utility guy, Ta-Sung Kim, shift to the outfield?
Maybe. I think I've seen Brandon Lau play corner outfield, but I don't know if that's helpful at this stage in his career.
That's not a good idea. I don't like the sound of that at all. Because frankly, I need his bat so badly. I cannot afford him to be hurt. Like, especially with the, and again, you don't have Curtis Mead anymore. So you kind of need him to be healthy or you're kind of in trouble.
Yeah.
And
I think we just need to get an outfielder. I think we just got to suck it up and sign one or trade for one.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to, this is definitely an off season deep dive.
Yeah. I just don't think we got any organizational depth in the outfield.
Not that's ready right now. Like I do think there's some guys, you know, over the next couple of years that could get there. I mean, I even think maybe end of 2026, Trey Morgan might be ready. And maybe he's played some outfield, so maybe he can figure that out. And I'd like to see that. But outside of him, like, there's nobody that I'm like, man, I can't wait for this guy to get up. You know, I've got some infielders I'm excited about. I got some pitchers I'm excited about. I've got a shortstop I'm very excited about. Not even Carson Williams I'm talking about is another one, who if you don't know his name, you better. Santana, look him up. If you're a Rays fan, you're gonna want to know his name. But the outfield is not a position of strength right now.
No, we're very thin on the outfield. I'm just looking through Rays prospects, and I'm like, oh man, there's none like that are close.
Well, I mean, you want me to twist the knife a little bit on you, or you want me to be nice?
Go on.
I'm not saying that I didn't have a problem with the trade when it happened, and. Hindsight is 2020, because I think we all agreed when he got traded that we didn't think he was going to be able, we thought he was on the downturn. But it has been an unfortunate series to watch Randy Rosarena playing opposite us as we are struggling mightily out in the outfield.
Yeah. It's been sad, hasn't it?
Because yeah. I mean, even if you, I mean, he has had one of his best years in the regular season this year. And I don't know if he would have done that with Tampa. Who knows? It's you know, butterfly flaps its wings. And I do think, you know, in our outfield discussions, maybe it's just Chandler Simpson's out there every day in the outfield. If we're moving on from Josh Lowe and you tell me that Chandler Simpson's going to be out there every day, and that it's a combination of Morel and Pereira, maybe that's
DeLuca.
Okay. DeLuca. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess that's fine, but it's not, I don't have any confidence there other than I think that, you know, Chandler Simpson's really exciting and I'm glad he's going to be starting every day. But outside of that, I'm not really excited about that. So I do think that outfielder is still a spot where you just love to have somebody you could have some confidence in out there.
Kyle Tucker's a free agent. We're going to have a new owner.
So here's the, before we, you know, we're going to have a lot of conversations about whether or not we can buy and, you know, whether or not the team can afford some of the options that we're thinking about. But if there's a place that you can go and always know that you're going to have affordable, high quality options, that's shop.rblrsports.com. And as we're, you know, we're wondering about all this and we're concerned about all this, you can always go to shop.rblrsports and get the best merchandise inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, and Sun for great prices and even greater when you use promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off your entire order there. Shop.rblrsports.com, promo code Flappy, 10% off.
Yeah, that's something you never have to go shopping for more than once. That's like a long term. That's like a 15-year free agent. That's like the Aaron Judge extension, you know?
Yeah, it is. And when you're done shopping, the thing you should do on Mondays, if you're shopping on Mondays, I mean, you can go read this article anytime, but especially on Mondays because it's new there, rblrsports.com, the roundtable, best article in baseball every week. They had great stuff last week with the trade deadline. They're going to have great stuff this week, I'm sure, talking about what's going on with this team and what our future looks like. I don't even know what the roundtable is going to be about every week. So I really enjoy popping on Monday mornings to read that. RBLR Sports Roundtable, Rays Roundtable, every week on Monday.
Yeah, great read. Love it every single week. So I guess... The last kind of questions we need to ask before we wrap it up here.
Oh, we're not going to be Kyle Tucker.
Oh, let's do Kyle Tucker. He's the biggest free agent this year.
Yes, he is.
He is the biggest free agent. And he's going to need a lot of money and a lot of years.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to be Juan Soto, but it's going to be close.
Well, let's see.
It's going to be
let me pull up his fan graphs. Because I don't – what's he making right now?
Oh, well, he's on ARB money, so.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Because sometimes guys, when they've been on ARB, I'm curious what he's made last year in ARB. He's making 16.5. So, let's see. He has averaged right around 4.5, a little above, a little below WAR the last several years. So that puts him right around a 30-mil-a-year contract, maybe a little above, say, 35. So if we want to be, you know, want to be conservative, we could say 35 over, what is he, 28, maybe 5 years, because you want another deal after this.
I don't think he will. I think we're going to need to do something in the ballpark of 12 years, 400 million.
Really? He's going to want something in the deal.
Like, I think he's the top free agent on the market. He's going to want a lot. I think he'll only want to sign one contract, and that's going to see him through to the rest of his career. I think he's going to want at least, I think he's going to want either like maybe 10 years. I think maybe 10 years, like 350 million, maybe you could get it done. But really, I think you're going to need to go to the 400 million mark. Vlad Guerrero Jr. got 500 million.
Maybe, I mean, so here's the problem with that is every home run Junior Caminero hits, his value goes up. And as much fun as I'm having watching him potentially challenge Carlos Pena's all-time Rays home run record, which is very a lot of fun, I am starting to get a little worried about what the number is going to be for him. I'm not surprised that they weren't able to get an extension done this offseason because of all the turmoil around the stadium. It probably wasn't the time, and we've still got the Wander stuff in the air. My hope will be that when the stadium gets finalized, you know, some of the Wander stuff will start to clear out, and they're able to get that money and then basically give it to Junior. But I'm, you know, I was thinking, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 11 years, 180 was going to do it for him. Now I don't know.
What does Julio get? What does Julio Rodriguez get?
I was looking at Bobby Witt and somebody else the other day, and Bobby got 250. And what did Julio? That's a good question.
So Julio went for 12 years, 210.
Yeah. Maybe 10 years, 210 for Junior, because now it's a little bit farther along. But
maybe 11 years, 220, something like that.
Because the good news for Junior, at least, is he's finally kind of gotten over the hump, at least a little bit from a defensive standpoint. He's now positive defensively on Fangraphs, which is a good thing, that he was negative most of the season. His value is going to be there offensively. It's just going to be a question of whether or not he can provide that value defensively. We think he can, but it'll just be that's kind of the question mark with him. For him, from a value perspective, I think he's still below guys like Bobby Witt Jr. But I also really want to get this done before Gunnar's deal gets done.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a really good point. I think Julio Rodriguez is a good benchmark.
I agree. I like that. I hadn't thought about Julio, but I like that number.
Cause they're both very young when they are looking for that big deal. I guess Julio plays center field and is slightly more athletic than Caminero.
Yeah.
But if he signed that a couple of years ago, so if you like factor for inflation,
but I Julio think also has could, not been as good offensively. He has struggled a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think something around what Julio Rodriguez got is a good benchmark.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I guess the question is really going to be, you know, we have a lot of questions about this new ownership group. And, you know, I think as much as we've said things about Stu over time, we kind of knew what we were getting with him. And I think an extension would have been pretty, you know, that would have been pretty expected for him, you know, based on what we've seen from him in the past, that he was going to be willing to pay for this extension for this player in this offseason. But now, you know, with a new ownership group, you know, we, you know, generally speaking, when you get a new ownership group, they're not coming in there to spend less money, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the question I really have is, are they going to say, we can't do anything until this Wander thing gets figured out? Or are they going to say, we're probably going to get out of the Wander deal, so we're just going to go ahead and give you this money?
Yeah, I think it's worth doing either way.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we've got so much payroll room, hypothetically.
That's true. You're very right about that.
Like, if we added, you know, $15 to $20 million a year as an extension, regardless, that still puts us at like what, $100 million payroll.
Well, I'm so at spot track right now. I'm not sure where we ended up. I'm not sure if I hadn't looked at our payroll since the trade deadline. Not that we really brought in anybody that was making a lot. But let me see here.
No.
So I can pull up the raise. So the raise, as it stands today, according to spot track, sit at an $86 million payroll, which would be good for 24th in Major League Baseball. And add only
20 million to that.
Yeah. And by the way, only 54 million of that is active, in case you're wondering.
Of course.
But anyway, that's nuts. how much is on the deal? Buried? Yeah.
So I'm thinking 20, you can add 20 million. Like, if, let's say, if we wanted to make an expectation on the owner that we wanted the payroll to increase to around $150 million a year.
Yes.
Right? That puts us like what? MLB average.
That would put us, let's see, let me tell you exactly. That would put us at, if we spent 150, we would literally be just below Detroit at 156, put us at number 17 above the Orioles.
Right. So close to Major League average.
Yeah.
So if we add, that means we've got roughly $65 million per year to add.
Correct.
Onto the payroll. So add 20 for Junior, add 30 for Kyle Tucker. We still got room 12 to spend.
For Hauser.
Potentially. Yeah. Right.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. And I think, and that's kind of what we've said. Like, again, we're not asking, I don't think any Rays fan is asking for us to be, you know, the Phillies or the Yankees or the Mets or the Dodgers. Like, we're not asking for that. I think that would be
foolish. I would love that. But,
but it's just not going to happen. But I think we can outspend the Baltimore Orioles. I really do think we can, or the Kansas City Royals, like, you know, or the Minnesota Twins. Like, we should be able to. And like, yeah, honestly, the team has performed like at a level that deserves a little bit more financial investment. And the hope will be that the new ownership group will bring that. But it's just a lot of question marks right now.
Hmm.
And we're only, so, you know, yeah. So it's just going to be a question of what, you know, I hope that as the offseason gets a little bit deeper, we start to hear and learn things about this new ownership group. But right now, we don't really know much about what their stance is going to be. And we're just going to have to wait, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see. It's going to be this offseason is going to be a weird one. Buckle up.
Yeah.
But as opposed to this season, get hot or get out.
That's all that's left. That's it. In a way, that's all, like, we got. I kind of wonder if, like, if you're Kevin Cash today, it's a pretty simple message. I feel like this is it, guys. This is it. Like, we worked all off season. We've played through the dog days of summer. Here we are. It's August.
Playoffs start now.
You got to go 600, a little bit better than 600 the rest of the way. If you want to be in the playoffs or not, it's pretty simple. Just that easy, right?
It's right in front of us.
It's, I could say it forever. Oh, and look, and the reality is, like the there are no juggernauts this year. That's, I think, for me. Not in the AL. Like, for me, as a fan, you know, wanting this team to one day win a World Series, there's no juggernauts. anybody who gets in could win it this year. I really believe that. Anybody who gets in, it can win it.
Yeah. I mean, there's some tough National League teams. Like, if hypothetically you went to the World Series, like right. The Phillies are really good, the Brewers, Dodgers, Padres, but Cubs. But like,
yeah,
in the American League, like, I'm not like particularly intimidated by any teams, but yet we keep losing to them. So we need to spin it around. And yeah. I will be here ready to decide if the team is alive or dead this time next week.
And I swear if I have to watch the Astros win again, I might. Oh, it's going to be a bad day. Because again, like when you look at the teams, it's Detroit young, Blue Jays young, neither of which have any real experience in the playoffs. Boston, they're you know, I don't have any confidence in them in the postseason. Mariners are historically bad in the postseason. And the Yankees are a train wreck and don't have a closer. So, listen, just get in. Just get in there, man. Just figure a way. Find a way.
Yeah. Like, I could see us winning a series against any of those teams.
Yes.
But we need to win the series now.
Against the current, against the playoff team. Like, again, like when you think about, you know, next week, we're going to play the Mariners a week after. I think it's week after. We play the Mariners again at home. You got to win that series. You just do. And then you got to win the four-gamer against the Guardians. You got to. It just is what it is. Like, and as you know, there's not a lot of like, well, you know, we can do, you know, just win. You got to win the series.
Get hot or get out. That's what I'm saying. Get it on a t-shirt, yeah. Eureka.
Yeah. And if and you know, it may be that when we come back here next week, we are talking about I'm probably gonna try to keep it alive for as long as possible, but we could be here next week saying, hey, how's Carson Williams doing? Let's talk about that a little bit. That may be what we're talking about, but I still believe this team. We can come back on here next week and be really getting into the weeds on, okay, what's the rotation going to look like for, you know, these Mariners and Guardians series? Who are we facing? Where can we get matchups? How can we keep the bullpen fresh? You know, what are our opportunities? That's what I hope we can be doing. And that's how I hope we can spend the rest of our season and not talking about Trey Morgan swing decisions.
Yeah, get ready for potential prospect pods coming up.
It could be. It could be prospect pods.
What we're going to manifest is we're going to win today. Hauser's going to go back to his old form. Caminero's going to hit another three home runs. And then we're going to sweep the Giants and we're going to sweep the A's. And we'll be on a W7. And then we'll be like, and then we'll be two games out of the wild card. And we'll be like, hey, let's get hype. That's what we're manifesting anyway.
That's what we're manifesting. And it's, you know, and, you know, we still have some elite guys to do it. Less than 30 seconds, batting arm of the week. Because they're both pretty much self-explanatory, I think. The bat is Junior Caminero. He hit to a 280 WRC plus and hit four bombs in the last week. He is a star in the making.
Yeah, he's the franchise. He is the franchise. We love him. I did not think he was going to be this good this fast.
No.
But I'm so glad he is. He is the team right now. He is the offense.
Yep. And the pitching staff right now is Drew Rasmussen, six innings pitch against a playoff caliber offense. No earned runs given up, 1.77 FIP, 0.4 F4 in one start. He has been the elite starter that we hoped guys like, you know, Ryan Pepiot would turn into, Shane Boz would turn into. Drew has been the guy.
Yeah, game one. If we do, by some miracle, make the playoffs, he's game one.
1,000,000%. Is he opening day starter next year?
Barring any crazy moves, yeah.
Yeah, even if Shane is ready to go 100%?
Yeah. I think he's earned it. You know how we gave Zach Littell? Was it Zach Littell we gave the opening day start to? It was Pepio.
I wanted us to give it to Littell. I was mad.
You wanted it for Littell.
Yes, yeah. I wanted it for Littell. But no, we gave it to Pepio, that's another podcast is what, you know, what, hey man, when are you going to become Tyler Glasnow? It's not happening. At least you're available.
Yeah, I guess that's Boz, Pepio, what happened, man? Hurry up.
Yeah, what happened? Yeah.
But we're not going to be saying that because they're both going to shove this week and it's going to be fine.
Of course. And it's going to be great. And we're going to come back on here next week talking about how we swept the A's and we're hoping to sweep the Giants because we won the first. I don't know. When is the
what's his name? Yeah, we'll have played the first two games and we'll probably do a pregame pod.
Yeah, but I can't remember when is Logan, what's his name?
The Sunday.
Sunday. Great. We can win. We can sweep the A's. We can win the first two games. And then we'll face Logan on Sunday. There we go. Manifesting it.
We need all your energy. We're going to be like Goku with the spirit bomb.
Yes. Everybody hold your hands up. Everybody that's in the audience. And we hope all of you that are in the audience, even if you're not doing the spirit bomb with us, we hope you have enjoyed this episode, even though it's a bit of a scattershot episode because frankly there's a lot going on and we're not even really sure what the next week's going to hold. But we're always going to be here talking Rays baseball and we hope that you will join us. If you enjoyed the show today, drop us a like and do us a massive favor and subscribe. It's free. Doesn't sign you up for anything. Subscribe on YouTube, follow us on the social. So, you know, when we go live, drop your comments on Twitter, wherever you want to let us know how you feel. We'd love to hear from you guys. We're going to be here the whole rest of the season, regardless of the way that it goes. If we're doing prospect pods, that's what we're doing. But I believe we're going to be doing playoff analysis pods. Either way, though, it's going to be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.